Let's roll.
You're stopping off at exit 31.
Oh, the referee is calling that a touchdown. Oh, wait, now another official is signaling that's a safety. Oh, yeah, nice going, refs. They're going to have to sort this one out with the side judge. It's a fail goal. Yeah!
Exit 31 with Rain and Spencer.
On ESPN Radio.
ESPN Radio and QSportsTalk.com.
Greetings and salutations. Straight up dogs, today we got to have that mentality every day. I keep reminding you of that. With college hockey on his shirt or on his hat and America Needs Journalists. You mentioned that shirt the other day. Spencer Davidson, how are you?
I'm fantastic. How are you?
I'm good. I'm Rain. I'm bald. I'm wearing a black t-shirt today and I'm ready to go on X31. QSportsTalk.com. We'll get a poll up there. We'll give you a chance to win. Well, we have four pair of tickets for Syracuse Wake Forest remaining, brought to you by Seneca Savings, the team at Stanley Law, Amtrak, and CNYRealtor.com. We will give those out. Today, you're going to hashtag Dino. Hashtag Dino. Hashtag Dino. Hashtag Dino, if you would like to win. Did I say that enough times? Was it three times a charm and I went four?
You know what? You went all in. One of the things about you, Rain, I always appreciate the effort. You really bring it home. And you really make sure that things are clear and concise, by the way.
I try. I don't believe a word that you just said.
Why not?
My name is Rain. That's Spencer. It's Noster Davidson versus Rain Stradamus off the top with a little Rain mansplaining. And we're straight up dogs with that mentality. So we're going to talk to Chris Carlson about the transfer portal, Syracuse players leaving the program, probably some recruiting. We'll take a look at the Wake Forest game and scout that further. And some other questions. We got sound check lined up. Interesting take from you with your Killing Me Smalls at about 2:45-ish. Our kerfuffle today is lined up and ready to go. We'll chat with Eric Columbia, News Channel 9, and Damon Amendolara with Orange Fizz. If you're into recruiting, by the way, football and basketball for Syracuse, check out what they're doing. Needless to say, I'm ready if you are. So I would be remiss if I neglected to mention off the top, and I was also threatened with losing a guest on Sportscaster Wednesday, that being Mario Sacco. If I didn't mention, he crushed the very confident Mark Larson, if you recall his words from yesterday. It is 92 to 85. I'm looking at that going, what? Yeah, seven strokes. Beat him.
Wow.
Whooped him today. Sportzilla Open became the Exit 31 Open. They had a golf match today, and he whooped him. He destroyed him. He crushed him. Bragging rights. Cheers. That was a tasty beverage in the 19th hole afterwards, if you know what I'm saying, Spencer.
The teacher has become the student, yes. And the student has become the teacher.
I feel like we're going to get a phone call at any minute. Who knows?
So, but I feel like it's a lose-lose for us.
Yeah.
Because if we don't bring this up at the top of the show, Mario says he's never coming on the show again.
Should I have taken...
But at the same time, does us bringing it up leave such a sour taste in Mark Larson's mouth that we don't get him anymore?
Are we going to get a text here?
I feel like this is a slippery slope, man. We are walking a tightrope.
Should I have taken the threat seriously? Would Mario then agree to come back on next Wednesday and Wednesdays in the future?
He's a stand-up guy. I feel like he would have still come on, but I just feel like, you know, you kind of, there'd be some bad blood there. It's like, you know, if a player and a team go to arbitration, it's like, yeah, the player might stay with the team, but there's always going to be that little awkwardness there.
There's certainly something. I just think you got to give him a chance to brag on it a little bit, right?
Absolutely.
Right here. And they talk so much smack, and they have. It's been a lot of fun. It's been lighthearted, but it's been fun. And they both kind of always have a little jab for the other one there.
Oh, yeah. They both pull the punches. It's great.
Well, needless to say, there's a little more to talk about to open things up. The rumblings are out there. So everybody wants, as far as the Yankees, we'll get to the NL wild card in just a second. But as far as the Yankees and the fallout of losing that game to the Red Sox, everybody's clamoring for Boone and wholesale changes. And, you know, we've got to discuss some of those. But there's also a lot of chatter for another member of the front office, a high-ranking official within the New York Yankees, to be fired. Now, this goes on every year, but it seems to be a little bit more than usual. Glue guy, pop the mic on for a second here. Tell him the name.
Brian Cashman.
And what are you hearing? You're seeing it from a lot of different places.
I'm seeing a lot of different people talking about the possibility of Cashman being let go as well, just to get a new direction in the front office, because it's been Cashman for so long.
Yeah, and we were having that conversation right before we came on the air, and my immediate reaction was, he's going to the Mets if that's the case. Because Theo Epstein just said, yeah, no, after he talked to Steve Cohen. I think he wants an even bigger role than like the head of baseball ops or a GM role. He's been there. I mean, think about this. He ended two curses. He ended one in Boston, ended one in Chicago. So he wants a greater challenge now. He's more than proven himself.
Right.
To think about what he has done. Theo Epstein is an iconic name in baseball right now. So, I mean, then you've got to look at Billy Beane, too, as another potential option. We'll grab that phone call real quick. Who do we have on the line here on Exit 31, ESPN Radio, QSportsTalk.com? Hello?
Yeah, Rain?
Yeah.
Hey, I got a question for you, man. A couple of things. So who's working the nights at 7 o'clock on K-Rock?
I don't know. Well, this is not the place that we're going to discuss K-Rock right now, though. Message us off of the air, okay? We'll talk K-Rock another time. We're doing some ESPN Radio right now, okay?
Okay, but...
You got a sports question? That's funny. I've been on the radio for a long time in a lot of places. What's the other question?
So can you guys, like, do a Does It Matter segment? Do you guys do that?
Yeah, that's...
Should do that.
That is our segment, the Does It Matter segment. What's the question? Do you have a Does It Matter question for us?
I'm not sure we're going to get anything out of this one.
Okay. All right, we'll kill it. Appreciate the call, though. Always do.
Yeah.
315-437-7644 or 315-768-1310.
Does it matter? Cashman might like get let go?
And everybody wants to know why I don't take phone calls all the time.
Yeah. Hey. Well, I think it does matter. I mean, if Cashman's let go, that really means that there's going to be a seismic shift with this organization and that they really are at a crossroads, because Cashman's been there since, like, what, the 90s? So, but what's interesting is, okay, let's say Brian Cashman does get let go. Does Theo Epstein then become a possibility for the Yankees?
That's a different situation, because you're talking about a Mickey Mouse organization. Really, the Mets are in disarray. And then you have the Yankees, which a much more attractive job, that's for sure. By the way, if you're on social media and you follow at Exit 31 ESPN or at ESPNUR or at ESPN Syracuse, after the show you will see, and On the Block does this, the guys on Orange Nation do this, you will see a video promo of a highlight or a clip from the show. I'm just saying right now, that phone call needs to be what it is today. Are you going to make me take this phone call?
Yes, I am.
All right, Glue Guy, Executive Decision. Yes, hello.
Rain, what's up? It's Don Johnson.
Hey, Don Johnson, how you been, buddy? What's going on?
Good. Hey, how do you feel about the Bills beating the Chiefs by 10? And I really feel as Syracuse is going to come out with a win against Wake Forest, and I do not see it as really an upset, to be quite honest with you.
It's funny you brought that up.
I just want your opinion on that.
We had a couple, we had a conversation on that yesterday. All right. Don Johnson, first of all, two former K-Rock listeners on the way over here on ESPN. I so appreciate that for both of you. We're going to disconnect with you, Don. We're going to answer the question on the air right now. Far as the Bills, I absolutely can see them. I don't know about 10. You're still going up against Mahomes. Okay. It's not the Chiefs of the past couple of years. But I still think right now the Bills are overall a better football team. Fair enough?
Yes.
I wouldn't go with 10. I think it might be a little closer than that. But I absolutely think the Bills can win, to answer that question. The second question, if Syracuse gets to that 30-point mark like they did against FSU, and the defense is legit, if they can, well, the point differential that each team scores is 7 in favor of Wake Forest. But if that defense can make a couple of big plays, you keep it close, you can win that game at the end. The Syracuse had a chance to beat Florida State. I could see a similar scenario. And I think it, who was it that said it? Was it Mike McAllister that said, listen, this is the other day to us, this is a bizarre season in college football, let alone in the ACC. And I understand they're undefeated coming in here, but you can beat them.
Yeah.
You can beat Wake Forest.
This is a winnable game.
This is a much better overall team Syracuse has this year than last year. It's not last year. There is a chance. Yes, there is a chance, to answer your question.
Well, Syracuse just comes off a game where they played a team that had an 0-4 record, but let's be honest, was not an 0-4 team in terms of talent
level. That's right.
So you're now facing a team that's 5-0, but they're not really, to me at least, 5-0 in terms of talent level. They've played very well this year, but this isn't a team that is so far head and shoulders above this Syracuse team that it's impossible to win. This is not Syracuse facing an Alabama. This is not Syracuse, you know, facing an Ohio State. This is Wake Forest. They can win this game. I think the defense is going to be very good in this game for Syracuse. It's whether or not the offense can perform. That's my concern.
Absolutely. And as far as Wake's concerned, Sam Hartman can throw the football a little bit. You have some players in the secondary, I feel, who can contribute to the offense and help them put points on the board. I'm looking at a Garrett Williams. I'm looking at a Deuce Chestnut. You saw with that interception. Listen, that was an NFL elite level interception.
Oh, yeah.
He read the play after he saw it time and time again throughout the course of the game, and then he picked the right time to jump that route. He moved up a yard or so at the beginning of the play, and he made the play, and then he held on to the ball, and it gave Syracuse a chance. And we'll leave it at that. Yes, it's possible. Needless to say, we went down that road. Let's go back down this road. We were discussing baseball really quick. It's Exit 31 on ESPN Radio and QSportsTalk.com. We discussed the Yankees quite a bit. We're going to do that more and in-depth. I want to throw some players in. It's, do you cut them or do you keep them? I want to go there in a few minutes, but we'll save that. That's just something on the way for the Yankees fans because a couple minutes left in this opening segment, the wild card last night lived up to the hype. The NL wild card was awesome. A great pitching matchup with Wainwright and Maximum Scherzer. The best part, of course, was the post game. But how about Chris Taylor in that home run? I mean, that was exciting. I feel horrible for the Cards fans, and honestly, that's who I was rooting for.
Well, yeah, it's certainly difficult with how good the Cardinals were, you know, in the last month and a half of the season to then see it all, you know, end in that fashion. That's certainly tough for St. Louis fans to take, but boy, it was a good game. I was very surprised to see Scherzer taken out in the fifth, Scherzer taken out a little bit early, but the Dodgers were the Dodgers. I mean, when it came down to it, they came through, and a guy like Chris Taylor, who really had not been doing much before then, plays the hero, and that's what you live for in sports. It doesn't matter what happened in the regular season. It doesn't matter. You know, look at a guy like Stefan Matteau for the Rangers. You know, he might not have been a superstar player, but he is a legend because of what he did in the playoffs.
You're right.
So this is where legends are made, and it was a legendary performance last night by Los Angeles.
Here's Chris Taylor about being ready when his number is called from the Los Angeles Dodgers, the hero of last night. Clearly he was. The dude will not be paying for dinner for a while in the city of the Angels, man.
You know, I know obviously it was a little different not starting the game. You know, I was just trying to stay ready off the bench. I mean, there's a really good chance I was going to come in at some point, just the way we operate. And, you know, I was trying to be ready when my number was called. And, you know, these are the type of moments that you dream about and you live for. And, you know, I'll be able to look back on this for the rest of my life. And I'm just fortunate that I was able to come through in that spot.
I have a feeling if we check the caller ID on the phone call that the glue guy just picked up for us, I know who it might be. Hold off on that. I have one last piece of audio that I wanted to share really quick. I had mentioned Max Scherzer. This is what it feels like when you win.
It mean like to have both of those guys there cheering you on.
Yeah, K-Long told me a couple days ago, you got to get rid of this echo. Can't talk. I'm drunk. Whatever.
Shirtless Maximum Scherzer after the game with Juan Soto and a couple of Washington Nationals teammates there to cheer him on in the victory. That was a lot of fun.
You know what's kind of funny? Didn't he kind of sound like Eli Manning there with the way he was talking?
Yeah, and Eli Manning without having a couple of
that's what I'm saying. Yeah,
beverages after the celebration. That's for sure. Listen, we'll talk a bit more about baseball because Dodgers Giants is historic and epic and never happened before, and I can't wait to see that series. Let's close out real quick. Who's this? Who's on the phone?
Hello.
Is that Mark Larson?
Nope.
All right, we're going to go to break. We'll talk to you off the air with the QSportsTalk.com audience. Exit 31, ESPN Radio. Syracuse.com's Chris Carlson is next.
Exit 31.
What the hell you guys say politely? I want to take a tinkle. A tinkle? I want to take a tinkle. It came back. That's polite, right?
Yeah.
Tinkle is polite, yeah. I want to take a tinkle. It went back.
This is Exit 31 with Rain and Spencer on ESPN Radio and QSportsTalk.com.
We've heard Wild Hack say it. We've heard Dino Babers say it. And I think we all realize it. And I'm talking about the transfer portal. It is a game changer for sure. So is name, image, likeness. But let's focus on the portal. Here's what Dino said the other day.
You know, the young people now have control over their own things. They can make their own decisions, and they're making the decisions that they feel are best for them. We need to honor that, and that's just the sign of the times.
As we welcome Chris Carlson from Syracuse.com onto the airwaves on the Accelerate Sports Complex phone line here on Exit 31, we realize that no Power 5 football team has lost more transfers since the start of training camp than Syracuse. So we're also assuming you're not in the transfer portal, Chris Carlson. How are you today?
Not yet. I'm sticking with you guys at least through the end of the season.
All right. Can you give us 10 minutes right now? 10 minutes. That's all we ask.
10 minutes. Then.
You wrote about this. So take us through this. What's going on? There are four players have left the team and explored their transfer options since training camp has started. We know about Taj Harris. There's Landon Morris, Jarvion Howard, and on and on. Go from there. And Ben LeBros is another one who's left the program, by the way. But tell us more.
Well, I wish I could tell you a lot more than I'm going to. You know, obviously, we've tried to reach out to all the guys and just get a sense of their reasons. Not a lot of success at this point. I know Landon Morris talked to Stephen Bailey, who's a frequent guest on your show, and said, you know, he wasn't thrilled with how the tight ends are used. That's not an uncommon complaint around here. So that, you know, that makes sense. In terms of why a player might leave. And the others also seem like they're probably playing time related, right? You know, on the face of things, Jarvion Howard wasn't getting the ball a lot. He's playing behind Sean Tucker. Cody Shear, graduate transfer here, trying to earn a start on the offensive line, probably wasn't going to do it. No connections to Syracuse. Might go somewhere else. Ben LeBros and Taj Harris, the two recent ones, are, you know, the ones that are probably a little bit more concerning and a little bit more alarming. You know, LeBros began the season as a starter, didn't get the lion's share of the playing time, but was going to play this year, you know, and he decided to leave. He hasn't explained why. And the same with Taj Harris, who, you know, yes, the offense was changing. Yes, the quarterback was changing. They were moving away from a, you know, pass-centered offense to a Sean Tucker-centered offense. But, you know, he was still going to play and presumably be the top target when he was out there and has decided to leave. You know, and I'm all for players' rights and players having a right to do what they want. But it's strange to me that a guy that is a top target would want to leave, you know, no matter what offense this team is running. You know, Calvin Johnson got drafted running the triple option at Georgia Tech. If you're the number one option, you're going to get chances. So, you know, certainly, you know, Syracuse fans should be disappointed that Taj Harris has decided to leave for whatever reason it was.
Dino Babers said, and I'll quote, I'm not talking to any of my players about trying to keep them here during the season. When I talk to them, it's a private conversation about how I can make them better. It's no different than I'm talking to a family member. The decision about whether they leave here is not my decision to make. They're in control of their own careers and whether they want to get a degree from Syracuse University or not. I don't get a vote in that. Is that the mindset, or you want your coach to have a more expanded conversation with his players, or is that the lane that Dino should stay in?
You know, that's a good question, and I don't know the answer to that. I do think that somebody, you know, needs to be having conversations with players about just how they feel like it's going. And I know you can't have those conversations weekly, right? Your boss doesn't check in with you guys every week to figure out if you're happy at ESPN Radio Syracuse. you know, but you have what, twice a year, three times a year, you know, and occasionally someone stops by and asks you how it's going. You know, I think it's important that coaches have a finger on the pulse of their team. And certainly if it's a guy that's going to be a contributor, you know how they're feeling about the situation, know what it takes to kind of keep them around and you know, be giving them
a very candid appraisal of what their future is going to look like. Now, I don't know if Syracuse is doing that or not, really, right? In terms of, you know, how realistic they're being, how accurate they're being in telling players what to expect. Nobody's come out other than Landon Morris and said, hey, it hasn't quite matched my expectations. But as a program, you do have to be doing that, right? More than ever, you can't be kind of, you know, trying to tell people what they want to hear and then have expectations not meet reality, because a player who finds that is just going to go somewhere else.
We're talking with Chris Carlson of Syracuse.com here on ESPN Radio, QSportsTalk.com. You're listening to Exit 31. Chris, does Tommy DeVito consider a transfer now after losing out the starting job to Garrett Schrader?
I think probably any player in his situation would at least consider it. He's a guy that came to Syracuse expecting to start. He has some starting experience. I'm sure he wants to play. I do think, you know, based on all accounts, it doesn't appear he's going to leave in the middle of the year. Which is smart. Like, he might play this year, right? Like, might get back out there and have an opportunity. Why would you leave in the middle of that? That said, if Garrett Schrader continues to succeed and it looks like Tommy's going to go into next year as a backup, you know, I think any player in that situation in this era is going to consider transferring. Doesn't mean he will, but, you know, they'll be looking at their options. I just don't see anybody in this day and age not at least considering it.
Boy, we've had some conversations about the transfer portal in recent memory with more than one team at Syracuse University. Well, let's talk about this phone call, the knock on the door, the walk-on freshman that ended up unexpectedly punting in Florida State versus Florida State. So you got Ian Hawkins, right? We've already seen Colby Barker, and that's all because we didn't have James Williams available to punt. So walk us through how this all came about.
Yeah, well, you know, I think it took most of us by surprise last week when Syracuse all of a sudden on Saturday shows up at Florida State in a game where field position mattered and they don't have their punter. It certainly didn't help. But that means a kid that came to Syracuse, a freshman walk-on who you know, might have never had a chance to play here, Ian Hawkins got a chance. He said, you know, Thursday he got a call. Coaches said, "Hey, you're traveling with us to Florida State." First time that's happened for a walk-on freshman. You know, Saturday, knock on his door from Blair Cavanaugh, the quality control coach. You know, a guy that didn't know he was traveling 2 days before. "Hey, you're the starting punter today against Florida State." And, you know, he wasn't perfect. You know, he had the bad 11-yarder that hurt them. He had another one that was pretty short.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, he also had one punt where it was high enough that the team got down there and they forced a fumble. He wasn't a total, you know, disaster. And I think any of us can sort of put ourselves in the position of a college freshman, which is itself hard enough. You know, being put in this position and being sent to Florida State and you know, feel for a kid and sort of understand the ups and downs when you're put in that type of situation.
Yeah, could you imagine that? I couldn't imagine that.
No.
I could not imagine that at all. So how did we do? Did we keep this conversation light today, Chris? We get intense with you. Anything going on in your life that you want to tell us about? How's the new house? Married life is treating you well? We got to break the ice a little and be a little bit softer on occasion here. Oof. You take one for the team a lot.
Ian's good, and I'm with you. I started the conversation with him and was like, "Listen, man, I would have like been scared, you know, out of my mind, you know, like so I'm not here to bust you about a short kick, you know, like I would have been shaking in my shoes and dropping the snap if I was asked to punt against Florida State. So I think that's a light topic. Not a whole lot going on in my life these days. Trying to get into the Halloween spirit, trying to figure out what my costume's going to be this year.
That being said, the last thing I want to ask you about, take a quick look at this Wake Forest game for us. We've looked at a path to winning. We figure putting up some points, the defense being pretty good, giving us an opportunity. Maybe it's close like the FSU game. Maybe a big play from the defense helps out. How do you see this breaking down, or what are some things to key on?
Yeah, I think it's certainly a really interesting game. And if you look at a lot of the national college football experts, a lot of them are out here picking Syracuse to win. Both teams are sort of unproven. You know, Wake Forest's weakness coming into the year was supposed to be their run defense. They haven't played a lot of great running teams. They gave up 200 yards to Louisville on the ground last week. So there's reason to hope, if you're a Syracuse fan, that this sort of double-headed running machine of Sean Tucker and Garrett Schrader can kind of continue to work against Wake Forest. You know, that said, Syracuse's defense hasn't faced a lot of great tests either. Ohio's not very good on offense. Rutgers isn't very good on offense. Florida State's not great on offense. Wake Forest is. So, you know, that defense is probably going to get its best test of the season, and we're going to see how for real those great national statistics are. But the thing I'm most interested about is sort of how the offense that we saw late against Florida State holds up. You know, I think we know that Garrett Schrader is better on the move. We know that Syracuse is going to try to get him outside the pocket. But now Wake Forest knows that Syracuse is going to try to do some of that stuff. So does it still work? Or, you know, now that the surprise is gone, you know, is it a little bit less effective? That's kind of the thing that I'm looking forward to seeing most, and I think is probably most important the rest of the year.
Yeah, I'm looking to see what he does with a stable of wide receivers as opposed to a definitive number one wide receiver without Taj Harris being there. Should be very interesting. And the occasions that he does throw the ball, which we know will not be a lot. Hopefully,
the less the better.
Yeah, hopefully he just game manages and we find a way to win that game. Absolutely. Chris, thanks as always for the time. We appreciate you. We're going to come back. Exit 31, ESPN Radio and QSportsTalk.com. We've got sound check next.
This is Exit 31 with Rain and WKTV Sports Director Spencer Davidson on ESPN Radio and QSportsTalk.com. Listen to this. Mic check. Okay? Good. Here's your sports sound check.
I hear the Syracuse Orange is they're changing their team name to the Syracuse Transfers.
That's seeming like a thing, right?
I mean, multiple sports, just mass exodus from the Syracuse sports programs. What's up?
If they transfer, I suppose they can win tickets at QSportsTalk.com. We're giving out some more today for the Wake Forest game this weekend, courtesy of Seneca Savings, the team at Stanley Law, Amtrak, and CNYRealtor.com. It's funny, I put hashtag Dino in the chat, and I got an offer from this shady guy. And it appears somebody else did too. Who is it there? Cubs Crazy 44 said some creepy guy offered him tickets as well for doing that. Hashtag Dino. So we actually got a call during one of the commercial breaks, and they were asking, how do you do that? It's like the pound sign or the tic-tac-toe looking. I thought that everybody knew what a hashtag was, but apparently you haven't watched enough of the hashtag game there on the Tonight Show.
Kids these days only know it as the hashtag symbol. They don't know it's the pound symbol.
I feel like I'm not the boomer right now.
No. I am in many ways a boomer now. You know, I was talking to somebody once, one of the athletes that I cover for my WKTV job, and I mentioned something about Blink 182, and they were like, who? I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Blink 182? You don't know who they are?
Some people don't.
Come on.
Hashtag Dino. Govendo just did that at QSportsTalk.com. We are giving out some tickets. We have four pair left. We gave out four yesterday. You put those together. Hey, that's a 44. It's all Syracuse. See what I did there?
I like it.
Come on, that was good.
That was good.
A little credit?
That was good.
Listen, we had a little bit of sound check. We want to play you some audio from around the world of sports and then read and react. We do that from time to time. Shared a little Dino with you earlier. We shared a little baseball with you earlier. But let's officially do this and talk some NFL. Because there's a Thursday night game tonight, and it's probably going to be a good game. The Rams and the Seahawks. I like the quarterback matchup for starters. Couple of the better teams in the NFC. We'll start it with this.
Tonight, the Los Angeles Rams. The Seattle Seahawks. Only one thing could make the game better. Not being played on the dumbest night of the week for football. Thursday night football tonight.
While I admit it's taken some getting used to, the games have been good this year. I feel like traditionally Thursday night football games have stunk. Mm-hmm. Obviously the short week for certain teams, but the matchups, even the Jacksonville-Cincinnati game ended up being a good game. And this is prior to more Urban Meyer nonsense. it was right after that that this all started. But tonight, Matt Stafford, Russell Wilson, Seattle, Los Angeles, good game. This should not suck. Let's put it that way.
No, Thursday night games, you're right, have been good this year, where they've been kind of boring in the past. But I still am not a huge fan of Thursday night football. Again, I just think if you have so many games on different days, it just, for me, loses its luster of having the Sunday, you know. And I just think that it's weird. It feels so out of place. Like, I can understand if you have a game on a Saturday.
Is the product watered down to you now?
Yeah, a little bit. Maybe I'm just jaded because I'm a Jets fan.
Yeah, it could be.
And so football is just very frustrating for me.
You don't really want to see them in featured matchups. Like,
no.
Sunday night football, Monday night football.
See, like, the Jets would be appropriate for a Thursday night.
Traditionally.
Because here's the thing. On Sundays, I'm already in the, I have the Sunday scaries. I'm already in the, the weekend's almost over. I got to go back to work tomorrow. Then you add in a Jets loss. and I'm sitting there like, my God, Sunday is the worst day of the week by far.
Sundays are terrible for you for a good 4 months, huh?
Honestly, they're terrible for me for 2 months. And then after that, it's like, what to expect.
Year after year after year after year. There's a couple of very interesting wide receivers in this game. DK Metcalf, as you know, and Cooper Kupp, who I don't feel is getting enough credit. He's good. He's a good receiver, a good weapon for Matthew Stafford. He's dependable. 5 or more catches, I think it's 9 games in a row stat that I read a little bit earlier. You know what? What a great situation for Matthew Stafford, because look at Detroit now. And we'll be talking about that, by the way, with Eric Columbia at about 3:15. And I apologize in advance if you're previewing Exit 31 here on ESPN Radio and QSportsTalk.com. But what do you think of Cooper Kupp?
No, he's very good. I mean, he's got 23 catches for 312 yards. That's 104 yards per game. Not too shabby. But he's also gotten touchdowns in the last 3 games straight. He's looking for the fourth game in a row here. So he's become a very, very reliable receiver for Matthew Stafford. And boy, Stafford has been good this year too.
And motivated. That's what the Rams are going to be. They lost to Arizona, who is the only team that is undefeated still in the National Football League here in week number 5. And Seattle is coming off a 28-21 win at San Francisco. So this, I just think, has the makings to be a very good game. I wonder what's the good value. Who's your money on? That's going to fire up the chat at QSportsTalk.com. I guarantee it. Oh, that being said, Spencer, I got a little bit more sound for you, if you don't mind. And I actually want to bring this to the Giants. And I want to share with you something that Chris Canty said the end of last week. Okay, I've held on to this for when we found a right time to talk Giants and Daniel Jones, because I still think I'm seeing a little something. I want to see the entire body of work for the entire season, okay? And he has not made the Josh Allen leap from year 2 to year 3, but he's definitely better. I still have issues with Jason Garrett, but I digress. Here's Chris Canty on Daniel Jones and the strides from this year.
Daniel Jones has played really, really well. I know that kind of gets lost in the record, and there are a lot of different things that folks want to point to, but he's done a good job of protecting the football, and he's used his legs to be able to extend the downs and convert for first downs when he's got to take off and run. And then you see the arm talent on display as well. He doesn't have the strongest arm, but it's good enough, and he can push the ball downfield, and he can get the ball to the receivers in their spots where they can do special things with it. So there's a lot to like with Daniel Jones. I think one of the biggest takeaways from yesterday's game was the offensive line holding up against that Saints front enough to be able to give Daniel Jones the opportunity to pass for 400 yards. So you got to give a shout out to those guys up front, because they've been under fire for the last couple of years, and it feels like that group, Andrew Thomas included, is kind of turning the corner and starting to steady in terms of their performance.
And if you think I'm confident about their chances against Dallas in Dallas on Sunday, I'm not going to lie, I'm a little bit nervous. I have a slight bit of anxiety about this. It's going to tell a lot about this team. You know, I don't know if there's moral victories, but if they hang in this game, it shows promise at the very least. Because right now, Micah Parsons, his addition to Dallas's defense, and what Dak is doing with that offense, it's a scary team for anybody to play right now. And I hate to say that, but it is true. I'm just being honest about the Dallas Cowboys. And that's a shout out to Kev from Liverpool, QSportsTalk.com. I know he's going to hear that one. Spencer?
Yeah, I mean, and remember this with the Cowboys, this is all with Ezekiel Elliott. He had a good game the last time out, but he hasn't exactly been, you know, a showstopper this year. So, you know, they're like the Cowboys for me are only going to get better. And but I do have to say Daniel Jones has impressed me so far this year. I do think that the consistency bothers me still because it's almost like a Jekyll and Hyde thing. Which Daniel Jones are you going to get?
They're slapping together an offensive line, and it kind of worked last week. They had a scorer in there. And then, of course, there's Rob Sale. Mm. He has made Andrew Thomas what Andrew Thomas was supposed to be. Mm-hmm. He's only given a one sack all year. He's been really good. The improvement with Andrew Thomas, fourth pick last year out of Georgia on that offensive line, man, they got the right coach in there, making him the player they needed him to be. And that is helping the team overall. And you saw a career-high 402 yards last week for Daniel Jones. Let me close out with one last piece of audio on that subject here in Soundcheck, Exit 31 on ESPN Radio.
Is Daniel Jones kind of quietly having a breakout season?
I think he is. And I said beginning of the year, I'm like, oh, he's doing good. And he's starting to just continue to play better and better and better. And he's got some weapons and the defense is solid and the coaches seem like they're putting him in the right position to be successful. I mean, he's doing fine. I don't see what the problem is with him, if anybody has a problem with him anymore.
You notice Saquon Barkley kind of creeping back game after game into that conversation. He was over 100 all-purpose yards, and that's a weapon that definitely helps. Galladay had a good game. I mean, there's some promise there. Let's see if this continues. Plus, they even had some injuries last week at wide receiver. Sterling Shepard, for example. Bring that back in. More options. We'll see how it goes. Let's stop right there. X31 ESPN Radio and QSportsTalk.com. You're Killing Me Smalls is next. This is Spencer's chance. He's got a few things to say. I'm warning you now. Hang tight.
You're Killing Me Smalls. This is Exit 31. Here is Rain and WKTV Sports Director Spencer Davidson on ESPN Radio and QSportsTalk.com.
You're Killing Me Smalls.
Sports Festivus, airing of the sports grievances. Eyes roll. You're Killing Me Smalls. Spencer Nostradamusson, what is it today, sir? I know you're chomping at the bit.
Yeah. I mean, first off, I just want to start by saying congratulations to the Los Angeles Dodgers for winning the NL wildcard game. And you know what? To continue that, you know, congrats to the Red Sox as well. You ended my hopes and dreams, but congratulations for moving on. But my issue is, look, I understand. I'm not trying to diminish the accomplishment of winning the wild card game. But last night, you know, I'm watching and the Dodgers are celebrating in their locker room and the plastic is up and, you know, it's a champagne celebration, popping the bubbly. And I'm just sitting there thinking, you know, almost like, what would Kobe Bryant be saying if he saw this right now? Remember that, like, job's not finished. What's there to be happy about?
That's true.
Job's not finished.
It's true.
So for me, having a champagne celebration,
it's premature.
But having a champagne celebration after you win the wild card game.
But isn't that, like, in a sense now with the current construct of Major League Baseball and the playoff system, it's like winning your division. Don't you always, you know, tarp the locker room and have a little bubbly and beer?
Yeah, but I'm not sitting here saying I was never a professional athlete, but when I was playing sports, if we were in the playoffs and you win the first game of the playoffs, like, I'm sorry. Like, I'm not ready to fully celebrate just yet. I think if you win the World Series,
well, I was going to ask,
the celebration loses its luster if you've done that five times before you get to the World Series.
So then, okay, we're just talking Major League Baseball. Then at what point do you celebrate? What time do you let the guys kind of unwind, blow some steam off, get it out of their system, appreciate the accomplishment of getting through a long season and to that point where they have a chance to win the World Series? Is it definitively winning, say, the ALCS or the NLCS to get to the World Series? Do you do it then or can you do it prior? Or you just feel like at any point prior to that, it's not the right time?
I think it's appropriate. I really think that you should wait until you win the World Series. However, I do think that it is appropriate to, if you win the ALCS or you win the NLCS, you earn the pennant, you earn a spot in the World Series. Same as in the other sports, you win the Eastern or Western Conferences, you know, to get to the finals.
I think that's appropriate. But man, to me, it just like, why would you go all out with that? Like, act like you're playing for a bigger goal. You know, stop acting like you won the World Series when you come out of the wild card game.
Well,
and by the way, I'd be saying this if the Yankees won the wild card game and were popping champagne. I'd be like, what are you doing? Focus on the task at hand. It's not even close to being over. You got plenty of business to be taken care of.
You got a lot of business to take care of if you're the Yankees. So is rant over? That's your final answer, your story, and you're sticking to it? That's what's killing you, Smalls?
No, I just, you know, I mean, it loses its luster. And I'm flabbergasted. I'm flabbergasted because to me, it just seems like, you know, first of all,
you have a dictionary open on your computer right over there? Or did you bring it with you?
I don't, actually. I don't. But I do use thesaurus on the regular to increase the vocabulary.
I had a 50-cent piece for that word, Spencer. Continue. Yeah,
but it just, I mean, to me, it just screams like what, like, do you feel like you're not a good enough team to win the World Series if you feel like you have to have that kind of a celebration after the wild card game?
Odie said at QSportsTalk.com, he's old school. He feels like you got to win it all. That's what I'm saying.
And again, I think maybe even if you win one of the CSs or you win a conference championship, maybe that's okay then. But it's a wild card game.
What are the benchmarks in other sports? For example, every game you win, since it's a week between games, basically in football, for example, do you celebrate after every game if you win and move on, or do you wait till you win the big game, the Super Bowl?
Yeah, when you win, like if you're in a series, when you win like a game in the series, or you even win a series, I mean, it's oh, you want to have a couple of beers to celebrate? Okay, yeah, you got through it. But to have a full-on celebration, dunking or dousing each other in champagne, pouring beer bottles all over each other, you know, wearing the goggles and everything. I mean, that should be when you win the whole thing.
Do you think that the Yankees were going to give Bronxy a little turtle beer if they happened to win the wild card, which they didn't? Or did he have one to drown his sorrows? Listen, we got to take a break right there. I'm going to give it to you. Can I?
Can you get? You know what? I've had enough. Just, yeah, please. I can cue it up, please.
I can. Yeah. Your sports festivus.
I'm done.
Airing
I'm
of
done.
The grievances is
I'm
over.
Yeah.
You're killing me, Smalls.
Well, I have, I guess, a couple of more questions in relation to this. So you're killing me, Smalls is going to carry over into our next segment in hour number two. It's called the kerfuffle. And I have to ask you about a couple scenarios. We'll then follow that up with Eric Columbia from News Channel 9, and Damon Amendolara with Orange Fizz is going to join us. It's Exit 31 ESPN Radio, and we're at QSportsTalk.com.
Twitter beef, bulletin board material. We've got another Donnybrook, an athletic brouhaha. Let's go toe-to-toe. It's the Exit 31 kerfuffle.
A classic conundrum.
This is Exit 31. Here is Rain and WKTV sports director Spencer Davidson on ESPN Radio and QSportsTalk.com.
Well, I suppose you and I, Spencer, being Yankees fans, because you're not going to hear any gripes from Brent Ax when he's on the block or Jordan Capozzi when he's hanging with the guys on Orange Nation. But as Yankees fans, well, we have aired our grievances and our gripes and our kerfuffle with the Yankees at different times over the last couple of days since the wild card loss. But now, of course, you just look on Twitter or social media and isn't the rest of the Yankees, I don't know, universe, fandom, nation, whatever you want to call them. Yankee fans are not happy. Okay, so does Cashman got to go? Does Boone got to go? What wholesale changes do you make on this roster? Well, I thought I'd throw a few names at you really quick to start off the kerfuffle and carry this over from your killing me, Smalls. Do you sign Correa or Sager? Shortstop.
Sager.
So you sign one of them?
Yeah. I mean, they need a shortstop.
Okay. You sign Rizzo? Keep him?
Yes, absolutely.
Agreed.
100%.
Stan, play more outfield on a regular basis?
Yes, 100%.
Absolutely. Do you move on from Torres?
No, keep him at second. He was once he moved to second, he was much, much better. You saw it in the last month of the season. Again, what he could be, keep Torres.
Clearly, you got to move on from Luke Voit then.
I mean, if you sign Rizzo, I would think so, yeah.
Okay, Gary Sanchez, you done?
That's a tough one.
No, it's not.
That's a tough one.
No, it's not.
You don't think so?
No, I'm done.
You're done?
I've had enough.
You're done? All right.
Change of scenery. Maybe he turns into an all-star, fulfills his promise. It's not going to happen with the Yankees. He's he's always going to be a defensive liability as well. Somebody has a place where they can use him as a DH and a backup catcher. That's best for him. That will not work for the New York Yankees.
Fair enough.
It won't.
Fair enough.
You cannot sign him to be your starting catcher next year. Absolutely not.
JT Realmuto?
Love that, but I don't know if that's going to happen. How about the rotation? Marcus Stroman, free agent. That's an example. There's others that will be options. They need more, right?
Yeah.
You've got to do more. I mean, Corey Kluber, for example, was a one-year deal, and clearly he missed 3 months of the season. Mm-hmm. Jordan Montgomery, okay. But Nestor Cortez, how long does that last realistically? I mean, you love Nasty Nestor. You love the cleats. You love the turtle. You love the mustache. But I don't know. I mean, he was Rule 5 for Seattle and Baltimore, and for some reason suddenly became a very dependable rotation piece for them. So you need more than that, right?
You absolutely need more. But again, the pitching, look, Gerrit Cole was not good in the wild card game, but ultimately the pitching wasn't the problem for this team. It was the just wildly inconsistent hitting and the home run or bust mentality.
You have to reconstruct the roster.
Yeah.
They're going to keep Gallo because he's got a year left, but I wouldn't. I'd find a way to move on from Joey Gallo. I'm sorry. Here's a great tweet. Saw this on Twitter. Joey Gallo couldn't hit a bear in the butt with a snow shovel. Couldn't hit the broadside of a barn, you know, that type of a thing. And I'm in agreement with that. I'm not cool with Joey Gallo. I don't want a 199 hitter. There's not enough there. It doesn't work for me. It's just more of the same of what the glaring issue with this team overall is. Yes, he's left-handed, and yes, you need more of that. It was idiotic to construct such a right-handed heavy lineup last season for this past season until the trade deadline when they addressed that. But you got to start in spring training, and that's got to be the way this team is built moving forward for 2022. Last but not least, I know he also bats left, but do you move on from the Gardy party at this point, Brett Gardner?
I think it's time.
Yep, it is.
I think it's time. I mean, look, he was a fantastic Yankee for years. You know, you can't say enough good things about Gardner, but I just think it's time. The time has come, and, you know, we should celebrate his Yankees career, but I just don't see him as a piece moving forward.
So we have our kerfuffle here on Exit 31. It's ESPN Radio, where QSportsTalk.com, and I'm just going to say right now that I'm pitting Maximum Scherzer sober versus Maximum Scherzer drunk, shirtless, saying hello to his old Nationals teammates. Here in an echo, it sounded like this if you missed it earlier on soundcheck.
It mean like to have both of those guys there cheering you on.
Yeah, K-Long told me a couple days ago, you got to get rid of this echo. I can't talk. I'm drunk. Whatever.
No shirt. Admitted he was a little bit not sober. Let's put it that way. He had a few. That's the best.
It's legendary.
I mean, it is. It's all time. Legendary.
That's like when Joe Namath was interviewed on Monday Night Football by Susie Kluber.
Yeah.
Wait, it's Colbert.
Susie Colbert.
Colbert.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he was like, I couldn't care less about the team struggling. I want to kiss you.
You might have had a few too many at that point in time. Put the booze down in the luxury box. That's for sure. Kyrie Irving with the Nets. Vaccination status matters. I can see the comments in the chat right now. QSportsTalk.com. Here we go again. Listen, it's an underlying issue. It just is, not just in sports in the country. It matters. Whether you get one or not is your choice. We will continue to say that. I understand you have your individual rights. But when it pertains to the NBA and the rules in place, he can only play road games. That's half the season. He's not available for his teammates. KD, you happy with that? Are you going to get him in line to get vaccinated? The Knicks, who, by the way, looked great against the Pacers the other day, their additions as well, that's a good team. And when you have all this drama going on because Kyrie Irving, as freakishly elite that his talent is a massive me player and a distraction. And it's every place he goes. Here we go again in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Do you want that problem? I mean, honestly, did Harden go there to deal with this crap? No. He wants to win.
Yeah.
And he's hopefully going to be healthy. And look what happened to him last year. The wrong size shoe, actually, was the difference in that three-pointer.
That's right.
But I digress. Kyrie's a problem. Big time.
I mean, if you want to be a championship team, you can't afford distractions. And that's exactly what he is.
Period.
And it doesn't matter how talented he is. We've seen talented players before you know, unable to get it done because of, you know, what head cases they are, because of the difficulty that people have playing with them, you know, and with this Nets team, I mean, there's already distractions because of the fact that you're constantly being talked about. You're constantly being thrown in as favorites. So there's a lot of pressure already on you. You can't afford to have, you know, these off court distractions. And if I'm KD, if I'm James Harden, if I'm Steve Nash, I'm sick and tired of answering questions about Kyrie Irving. I'm just done with it.
He had to go to a family reunion last year.
Yeah.
And he took time off.
Yeah, like, are you kidding?
Stuff like that, it's the Dennis Rodman-esque.
But the thing is, the difference is Dennis Rodman, I mean, they gave him a little bit of a longer leash, and largely at that time, there wasn't really Twitter or anything like that. So, you know, it was some of those things were behind the scenes. And yeah, he was a little eccentric on the court, but he just played basketball. And he wasn't a distraction on the court. It's just every day it's something new with Kyrie Irving.
It's constant.
I mean, he believes the earth is flat.
It's not.
It's 2021, man.
It's not?
No.
I'm totally kidding.
No, obviously.
Yeah.
But like, I mean, it's just, you know, and how much does he do this stuff just to get attention, and how much of it is real? It doesn't matter, actually. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you actually believe the crap that you say, or if you're just saying it to get a rise out of people. It's a distraction. And you can't afford that in the NBA.
I don't care what they say publicly. It's got to drive Harden and KD and Nash and everybody else on that roster absolutely bonkers having to deal with this. You literally show up. It's a regular day. It's a practice day. You're in between games. You show up to the facility, and you have to wonder what kind of crap or baggage is Kyrie going to drag in that door with him today? Is he just going to come in, walk in the door, what's up, fellas, let's get to work? Or is there going to be a circus following him? You don't know.
Yeah.
And that's not a fun way to try to get through a basketball season, especially when you have the players in a roster that should, at least in the East, be a favorite to get to the NBA Finals and have a chance to win a championship. That's the goal. That is clearly the goal. The Nets are in that conversation with the talent they have on that roster. And it just makes you go, why, Kyrie? Why do you have to keep doing this? Didn't you learn your lessons before in Cleveland and in Boston and on and on and on? Clearly he didn't. X31 ESPN Radio, QSportsTalk.com. The kerfuffle is underway. Want to bring it back to Thursday Night Football tonight. Rams, Seahawks, obviously the game is the kerfuffle, right, in the matchup. But it's Stafford, and then, man, I'm just saying, Russell Wilson, you love this matchup. Those two, awesome. What's the X factor for me, and the reason that I think the Rams might win this? Aaron Donald. 15 sacks, 15 games, averages one a game. Is he going to be a problem for Russell Wilson? I don't know. Can Seattle counter that?
Right.
Because he's a beast. That's the X factor. What do you think?
I like that. For me, this is actually kind of tough because my gut is telling me, like, I feel like the Rams are going to win. But to me, a big X factor that I think is going to be a big player in this game is Chris Carson for the Seahawks.
What about the ridiculously loud 12th man in Seattle?
That's certainly always a factor.
Always.
That's always a factor. But right now the Rams are just too good.
Yep.
Rams. Now, granted, this is a little bit more of an even matchup where I feel like it could go either way, but I tip the scales and give the Rams the edge. But I think Chris Carson has a big game.
They're coming off a loss to Arizona, but that's the key.
Yeah.
It's Arizona, who is a great team and one of the premier and best teams in the NFC right now. They're in that conversation. When it's all said and done, you might see them going deep into the playoffs. Kyler is unbelievable. The changes they have made in Arizona, the culture is good. They've got weapons, DeAndre Hopkins. I mean, I could go on and on. What a team. It's a good team. They're way better than anybody expected.
Mm-hmm.
But when you watch what they've done so far, do you see them slowing down right now?
No,
I don't.
No.
I think they're clicking on all cylinders. Yep. All right, let's close out the kerfuffle. We had to hit this off the top. We've got to bring it back. There's a fun kerfuffle going on Twitter. You can find us at Exit31ESPN on Twitter or through the stations at ESPNUR and at ESPN Syracuse. I'm at ESPN Rain, and I've joined in on this because it's just fun. Spencer, what's yours again?
What?
Your Twitter.
S. Davidson WKTV.
I can't never tell if I'm going to say the right one for Twitter or Instagram.
Yeah, because Instagram is different, so I wasn't sure which one you were asking, but Instagram is Spencer Davidson 12.
Okay, then there you go. Because Mark Larson and Mario Sacco are going back and forth. Mario won for the second time this year in their golf matches. They're regular contributors and guests with us on Wednesdays. Mario had a 7-stroke win today, and let's just say Mark Larson is salt and vinegar chips, man. He is salty about this. They're going back and forth. If you want a good laugh, or just do what I did, just go in there and kind of throw some shots out there, add a little fuel to the fire. That's a lot of fun. That's going to make next Wednesday very interesting.
Yeah, are you saying that Mark Larson is polarizing? Because I feel like salt and vinegar chips are very polarizing. You either love them or you hate them.
No, dude, you offered me some, and I said I can't because if I eat one, then I'm going to be focused on eating chips for the next hour, and I don't want to do that.
Well, I've already made that mistake. I've popped open the bag, and I'm already elbow deep in that. But I just think that, you know, again, yeah, we might like them, but there are a lot of people out there that hate salt and vinegar chips. But you know what? That just means more for us.
Well, we're going to get the opinion of Eric Columbia of News Channel 9 on this next on the Accelerate Sports Complex phone line. We've got to talk about SU and Wake Forest and some more NFL and Thursday night football, which we just discussed, and more on the Giants and the Jets. And hey, there's football in London on Sunday. How about that? So that's all part of the conversation next on Exit 31 on ESPN Radio and QSportsTalk.com, where if you're with us, you can watch Spencer Davidson eat salt and vinegar chips next.
This is Exit 31 with Rain and Spencer on ESPN Radio and QSportsTalk.com.
Eric Columbia is now with us as promised. News Channel 9, of course. Exit 31, ESPN Radio and QSportsTalk.com. There's some chatter about this Wake Forest-Syracuse game, and I'm going to read a headline that Eric Columbia wrote last night. Roller coaster week leads to era-defining decisions for the Syracuse football program. Eric, expand.
Well, I just think we're at a crossroads in the Dino Babers era, in his legacy. And I'm not the only person that has talked about this. I feel like everyone has mentioned how Dino came into this program. You know, close your eyes, feel me. Orange is the new fast. Like, we were promised this bill of goods. Not to say that he hasn't delivered, because for one season he did, and he has had injuries upon other things that people might label excuses that it hasn't really panned out in terms of consistency. He wants to be consistently good instead of occasionally great. And right now we're at this place where the Orange have sort of tossed out that identity and found this new one, and they have had success. I don't want to say like I'm coming down on Dino for going with this new strategy, because it does look like the offense does run better with this new centrally run focus. But when you have two of your players exit midseason and one of them is a running back and should be benefiting from this type of system, I think that says something about the state of things. And as much as he wants to keep things private and not talk about it, it raises eyebrows. And at some point, somebody is going to have to answer for this. And if Syracuse doesn't get wins and things go badly from here on out, which they very well could, the schedule does not get easier from here, then I think Dino will die on this hill in terms of his decision to change things up and to not deliver what he promised 6 years ago.
Taj Harris, Jarvion Howard, Landon Morris, no Power 5 football team has lost more transfers since the start of training camp than Syracuse. No other program. That's telling. Is it an indictment of what's happening behind the scenes? Is there a culture problem? I understand it's cause for you to speculate. What do you think? What have you heard? What can you tell us? What don't you want to tell us? What do you think is the answer to that?
I think it's a mixture of both the sign of the times with the player empowerment, and I'm all for that. But I also think it's too just, the lack of production when it has come as a whole on that side of the ball. When Dino has been at his best here in Syracuse, it's really because of one guy. It's really because of Eric Dungy.
Yeah, you're right.
When SU has had their success this year, it's almost exclusively with one guy in Sean Tucker. They haven't found a way as a unit to really dominate a football game. It's usually because one person is taking over. And I think a mixture of that is going to lead a person like Taj Harris, who I'm not going to fully absolve his actions over his SU career. We've talked many of times as a community about whether Taj Harris is a great teammate, but he still has the right to make the decision that he did. And, it'll probably be the right decision because he's getting tons of great offers. But I think it's a mixture of those. It's player empowerment, and Dino just hasn't found the right mix to have things consistently great on offense at SU. And that's going to cause some people to making a decision that works out best for themselves in an era when they can.
Eric Columbia of News Channel 9, WSYR in Syracuse, joining us on the phone lines, ESPN Radio and QSportsTalk.com. And all that being said, with no Taj Harris, what do you give the chances for Syracuse to win this game? I at least think it's going to be a competitive game, but what chances do you give for Syracuse to pull off the upset and beat a ranked opponent this weekend?
Wake Forest and SU always seem to play some good games. I remember a few years ago that game at the Dome, when Wake Forest just couldn't do anything wrong. They put up, it was like 45 points or something like that with Hartman behind center, and they ran wild all over SU. And the teams who win tend to put up points. I think like the average winner has put up like high 30s in the last few matchups. So if Syracuse has any chance of winning this game, I think they're going to have to find another way to put up about 30 points, because Wake Forest and that offense, I think, isn't really necessarily going to slow down. And this rivalry has constituted that. It has said that you're going to have to put up some points to win this game. I'm not confident that SU can match the effort of last week, especially now that more of it is on tape and Wake Forest is considerably a better team than Florida State. So I don't like SU's chances this week against Wake Forest.
You know what? I've been seeing a split within other members of the media, something we're going to get to in a few minutes. Yeah, they have to run the ball, clearly. Will they be able to run the ball against this team? That's the question, right? And you have a team with Wake Forest that can run and can throw with Sam Hartman. So this is really probably, I don't know if Liberty was, or if it's this Wake Forest team, the biggest test for this defense. Collectively, we've been focusing on the front six or seven, but we've got to include the secondary in this now. We need a collective effort, correct?
Yeah, of course you need a collective effort. I mean, team sports don't get more team-oriented than football. And especially with this defense, you need all 11 on the field to do their part. You have a really good secondary, but if you're not getting a pass rush, then those DBs have to cover longer, and then you're getting exposed right now. Last week they were able to get a pass rush. They were able to get to Travis, but Travis was able to evade that rush at times. When things broke down, he was able to make the adjustments and be able to elude the initial rusher, sometimes via a hold, which definitely happened on that last play. And he was able to make things happen. Hartman is that type of quarterback as well. He is not as elusive as Travis, but he can maneuver the pocket, he can make plays, and he can find a way to get things done. So it's going to take a total team effort. If the defensive line isn't creating pressure, isn't creating sacks, isn't shutting that down, then other people have to step up and be able to make the play.
Threw for 324 and a couple touchdowns last week. We'll move on to the NFL with Eric Columbia, News Channel 9 here on Exit 31. It's ESPN Radio and QSportsTalk.com. Let's start with a Lions lament from you. We want to give a chance to vent about your team and give us the state of the Lions. We know it's not good.
So, I mean, the Lions are bad and they're banged up. Those are two B's that you do not want when it comes to NFL football. They don't have the talent, and then the little talent that they do is not the healthiest. And this roster just isn't constructed to win at this point. They are obviously tanking, though nobody in the organization admits it, and I'm fine with that. So while these losses in my younger years would irk me, it doesn't hurt as bad now, because I know what the actual vision is.
So that being said, let's close out with this. Are you getting up and watching football from London at 9:30 on Sunday, and with Thursday night football tonight, who wins, the Rams or the Seahawks?
All right, to answer your first question, Rain, I have young kids. Of course, I'm going to be up that early on a Sunday morning.
Touche.
I'll be up even earlier than that.
Yeah.
So I will be up. My wife, I don't know if there's anything she loathes more than NFL Sundays in the fall, because she knows I'm just taking over the TV. So I'll keep track of the game, because I might have some fantasy options going at 9:30 at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium in London on Sunday. But I don't know if I'll be watching it as much as somebody like Spencer Davidson would be if he didn't have the Boilermaker going on this Sunday.
That's a good
name. Yeah, the only thing that makes me more miserable than a Jets loss is a Jets loss at 9:30 in the morning.
True. What a horrible way to start the day. Yeah, it should be afternoon when you're having some lunch, not right. When you're having your breakfast.
Exactly. At least let me wake up and have my coffee before you get smacked.
Tea and crumpets for you today, sir. Rams Seahawks, who wins?
I'm going to go, as much as I love Matthew Stafford, I think I'm going to go with the Seahawks in this one, only because I think they're going to be the more desperate of the two teams, and I think that actually plays a huge factor in professional sports. Who needs it more? The Seahawks need it. If they lose this game, they theoretically are two games back of the Rams, three games back of the Cards if Arizona beats San Francisco this weekend. And that almost seems insurmountable with how good that NFC West is. So they need the win, or they might start talking about, is this Seattle window closed and are we going to start selling some players? So they need it more.
That's Eric Columbia, News Channel 9. Thanks, as always, for the time. We lock it in about 3:15 on Thursdays with him, Exit 31, ESPN Radio, and QSportsTalk.com. We're going to come back, keep these phone lines wide open for Damon Amendolara.
Are you ready?
This is Exit 31 with Rain and Spencer on ESPN Radio and QSportsTalk.com.
We are attempting to connect with Damon Amendolara. We'll see if that connection is made. We got a lot of Syracuse football recruiting, and not just football, but also for basketball. We want to discuss with him, of course, get his opinions and observations on Syracuse and Wake Forest. It's funny. I'm going to bring this back into the conversation real quick. We were discussing for QSportsTalk.com, the viewers during the commercial break from radio. What are the picks of the beat reporters? We'll start with Brent Axe. Will be on the block. As you know, he went off and gave you his predictions yesterday, 28-24 in favor of Syracuse. Chris Carlson, we spoke to a little earlier today here on Exit 31, said Wake Forest 37, Syracuse 24. Wake Forest 42, Syracuse 30. That's Mike Curtis's pick. He joined us the other day. Mike is joining us tomorrow. And then Nate Mink, 37-34 in favor of Syracuse. Wake Forest by 6, over-unders 57. Brent's 4-1 straight up and 5-0 against the spread. Chris is 2-3 and 4-1 against the spread. Mike's 3-2 and 4-1 against the spread. And Nate Mink is 3-2 and 4-1 against the spread. Yeah, I could see them winning and I could see them losing.
Yeah.
That's the thing. And we'll probably settle on predictions for final scores tomorrow. Do you want to give yours yet, Spencer, or are you still kind of, what is it, hemming and hawing, kind of battling back and forth in your brain and what you think it is? A lot of opinions on how this game ends up in the chat, though.
I've been kind of going back and forth. I'm still trying to lock down my final, which I will give tomorrow, my final pick. But right now, the numbers tossing around in my head are 24-17 Syracuse. But again, I will lock that down tomorrow after I contemplate it a little bit more. But right now, 24-17 seems like a fair score to me.
Say it again.
24 to 17.
That's lower.
Syracuse.
That's lower.
I don't think it's going to be as high. I don't think either team is going to get into the 30s.
X factor being Syracuse's defense.
Defense
that they're not giving up.
Well, I don't know. I think the X factor is if the Syracuse's offense can perform. I think the defense will be just fine.
Yeah, if the offense is on the field, that's less time for Wake Forest offense to be
right
on the
like
field.
Like, I'm not worried about the points. Defense. I'm not worried about it. I think the defense is going to be fine. But can the offense stack up? Can the offense beat the Wake Forest defense? That, I think, is the key to this game.
Interesting.
Can Garrett Schrader be better in the passing game, especially without Taj Harris now?
I want to believe that he'll get a little bit better every week.
I think so.
I think he's got to develop. Taj is out of the room right now.
Yeah.
He's got to develop. And he's going to click with somebody. I'm not saying he's not going to click and try to develop a rhythm with everybody, but he's going to click with somebody. That's what happens. A lot of the great quarterbacks, it's because they have a guy that is just, they're on the same page. They're on the train together. They can predict each other's moves. You know, you see the quarterback, he throws that ball before the wide receiver kind of makes his cut or makes his break on the field. And before he even turns around, the ball's there because they just know they've worked out that precision. You know, I mean, there's a guy named Peyton Manning who was notorious for that. There's many others. Aaron Rodgers. I mean, the good ones are able to do that. Mm-hmm. That's what happens. Or they throw their receivers open. That chemistry develops over time with repetition, and it becomes that muscle memory. That's where they're trying to go right now. And how many starts has Garrett Schrader had?
One.
Exactly. I mean, here we go.
Yeah.
So but that's the thing.
He did, and to your point, Rin, with him improving, he did look better in the passing game than he did when he came in relief, you know, a couple of games ago. So we already saw some improvement. He did make a couple of nice throws, but I just think it needs to be more consistent. But boy, if he can get the aerial attack down, he is going to be one heck of a player because his legs are unbelievable.
People are asking in the chat, texting Mark, for example, yep, we're trying to lock in Damon Amendola. I think we've spoken to him a few times. He actually locked his phone in the house and like there was something screwy with his alarm system last time. Luke, is that what had happened?
Yeah, if I remember correctly, yes.
I forget the correspondence, and we were like, he was apologizing. We were like, no, man, weird stuff happens all the time. Welcome to life.
I texted him the number to call. That's
pretty funny. Yeah, so he should have that number. We let him know that we're trying to reach out and grab him for 3:30. And then again, he also has a job and a family, and things do come up last minute that are unexpected. I was asked, and we addressed this earlier, Spencer. Kev from Liverpool, big Cowboys fan, who's always with us at QSportsTalk.com, want to know my opinion of Sunday's game because it's the Cowboys and the Giants. It's the 4 o'clock game. And I told you, I have to give credit where it's due. Listen, with Micah Parsons being an X factor overall and coaching and just what they've done in building that defensive unit, Dallas is better. All right. They've improved.
Yes.
Now, offensively, it feels like they're a juggernaut and Dak appears to be healthy. Now, yes, we've talked about it, aired some audio earlier. You're seeing some improvement and some positive signs for the Giants offensively. Even a little bit of improvement with the offensive line. And it's still not what they expected it to be due to some injuries and some things like that. Like Nick Gates, for example. But props goes to Rob Sale, who has really helped Andrew Thomas improve. And Matt Skura gets brought in. And they're getting it done just enough for Daniel Jones to have a chance to throw the football around. Now, that being said, the game's in Dallas.
Yeah.
Which then makes me go, whoa. It's just like tonight with Thursday Night Football, 12th man Seattle, X Factor. We heard, of course, Hugh Freeze with Liberty, the Loud House, the crowd, the noise can be an X Factor. I think that has something to do with it. And I also think that Dallas is a better team. And I'm admitting that as a Giants fan. What do you think?
Do you think Liberty has Liberty insurance for like their bus trips and stuff?
Liberty. They play in Syracuse.
Yeah, that just popped into my head. But I think to me, if the Giants are going to win this game, I think you need to have a very good game from Saquon Barkley. I think he needs to be, you know, closer to his 100% self. I also think that Sterling Shepard is going to be a key in this one. If he can be a reliable target for Daniel Jones, they might be able to get something going here. I mean, Shepard was big in the last meeting against these teams. He had a couple of touchdowns against the Cowboys the last time out. So can he become, you know, a reliable target in this game? But I agree. I at the end of the day, I think that Dallas's offense is just too much for this Giants defense. And what are we going to see from Daniel Jones? Are we going to see the 400-yard passing Daniel Jones? I don't think so.
No, I don't think so.
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. Cubs Crazy 44 in the chat at QSportsTalk.com says the Giants' biggest problem is the fact they have no pass rush.
Mm.
Ojulari has surprised me a couple times. But for the most part, I would have to agree that I don't think they've been terrible, but certainly not where they need to be. That's still, this defense is a work in progress with Pat Graham, kind of like it was last year, where they progressively got better over the course of the season. And I still think unfortunately, four games in, they're feeling some of that out, and there's some roles that they're not quite defined in certain places on the field. And Blake Martinez being out now hurt for the rest of the year with the ACL, the leading tackler of this team, he's the play caller on defense. He's the quarterback on defense. His loss affects the Giants' defense big time.
Yeah, and I think two guys that I'm really looking at for on the Dallas side of things, I think C.D. Lamb, I think, is going to have a big game, and I think Trevon Diggs is going to have an interception. He's going to pick off Daniel Jones. So I think those are two guys to watch out for. Obviously, Dak Prescott's been great so far this year since coming back from the injury. I just think the Cowboys are too much. Now, granted, I think it's going to be actually a close game. I do think the Giants are going to play well in this game. I think they're going to keep it competitive and surprise people in that sense. But I just think the Cowboys, at the end of the day, have just too much for the Giants to overcome.
Saw a pretty good game out of Kenny Golladay. Obviously, Sterling Shepard was out. Kadarius Toney, of course, John Ross caught that one touchdown pass. Is there enough options for Daniel Jones? You saw Saquon Barkley at 126 scrimmage yards. What is it, 74 receiving, 52 rushing, couple TDs. So is he finally back into playing shape where you don't have to concern yourself with the injury anymore? If those options are there from Daniel Jones, maybe they surprise you.
Yeah.
I worry that it won't be that competitive because I don't know what offense and what Daniel Jones is going to show up. Whereas with Dallas, you know.
Yeah.
You just know.
Yep.
They're going to put up points.
Yeah, and I think that's a big key. That's why I think one of the things is if Saquon Barkley can have a big game because he'll open up the passing game. If that's the case, if they have to really defend against the run, that'll open things up. But Daniel Jones' decision-making has to be good. So, again, which Daniel Jones are we going to see? I do think that Kenny Golladay will be a factor in this game. But for me, Sterling Shepard is the receiver that I'm looking at here to have the breakout game.
Yeah, you need him.
Yeah.
You need what he brings to the table because Galladay's more your outside speed threat.
Mm-hmm.
But you need Sterling Shepard for sure. All right, your possession receiver, if you will. That being said, we will try to reschedule Damon Amendolara. I know a few of you in the chat are looking forward to hearing from him with Orange Fizz. We will make sure we get him back on. We'll come back, though. We'll close things out with the last thing we'll say today on Exit 31. It's ESPN Radio and QSportsTalk.com. We've got to get to the bottom of the gigantic water bottle and Spencer guzzling it.
This is Exit 31. Here is Rain Stradamus and Nostra Davidson on ESPN Radio and QSportsTalk.com. Here's the last thing we'll say today.
2007, the Red Sox won the World Series.
Why are you bringing that up?
Epstein, Cashman. Oh. 2013, Red Sox win. Charrington, Cashman. 2018, Dombrowski, Cashman. This year, Chaim Bloom, Cashman. Four different Red Sox executives owning Cashman for 17 years. 4-1 now in championships. Tough pill to swallow for Yankees fans, but I'm just being brutally honest. Changes need to be made.
Yeah.
At some point. You cannot continue status quo. The definition of insanity, as we discussed yesterday, and we all know, is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. Because that's just crazy, right? That being said, so is finishing that gigantic bottle of water. When we brought this up earlier during one of the commercial breaks from radio in the chat at QSportsTalk.com, they were calling you out on that. Like, have you never funneled anything before?
Was that directed towards me?
Yeah, I suggested that you drink the entire thing. How many ounces or gallons of water is that you bring with you?
So this is that. I think that fully is a gallon or just over a gallon of water. I usually fill it up. There's a 112 ounces. I fill it up a little bit higher, so it's about 116 ounces, which I believe is a gallon.
Okay, well, I had said, you know, why don't we have you drink that entire thing in like one shot, one sitting?
Because I'm going to drown.
And you're like, is it going to kill me? Can you drink too much?
No,
like,
you can't. I'm you like, can't drink. You like, okay, so.
But if the answer
this
is.
This has little hash marks. Every 2 hours, this is how much you're supposed to drink.
So that's too
much?
This
is every 2 hours. Every 2 hours is this little thing right here because the bottle is so big.
You can't drink that in 10 minutes?
No.
Why not?
Are you kidding me?
4-minute commercial break?
Are you kidding?
Guzzle the whole thing?
No.
4 minute break?
From this? Okay, so my with my schedule, this goes from 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. With my schedule, that doesn't quite work out. But like, so you're telling me, this tells you that while the bottle's full, it should be 7 a.m. And when it's empty, it should be 9 p.m. You want me to drink that in 4 minutes?
Well, not if it's going to physically hurt you. I don't want anything to happen to you.
But that's what it's going to do.
And but if it's under the threshold where you would have any physical issues because of it, I say why not for entertainment purposes.
Yeah, that's great.
It's better you than me.
That's great. You do realize that I have another job I have to go to after this. I can't be spending all day in the bathroom.
You'd have to do it in the bathroom because I feel like if you drank that much water in 4 minutes, you would have to go during the process.
It's like one of those fountains that has, you know, that has like the reservoir and it just like constantly cycles.
Oh man,
the water.
We got Football Friday happening tomorrow. Can't wait. We'll go behind enemy lines. Obviously, we'll dig deep into the New York Football Giants with John Schmelk joining us, and obviously quite a bit on Wake Forest and SU. You'll get more on that, more of that next, I'm sure. You're on the block with Brent Axe in a matter of minutes right here on ESPN Radio and QSportsTalk.com. Have a good day, everybody.